What up, Canes fans? Before we get started, just wanted to talk to you guys about the Tank Brewery real quick. The Tank is located in the heart of Miami in Dade County at 5100 Northwest 72nd Avenue. This place is awesome. I've been there. The beer is outstanding. The food is great. Whether you're watching the Canes game, the Heat game there with your buddies, you're having a guys' night out, or you're having a date night with the missus, it's a great place to hang out. So you can order online at thetankbrewingtakeout.com or call them at 786-801-1554 for delivery or pickup. And here's the thing. If you use the promo code TANK4SUP, you will get free delivery on game days. And so that is TANK4SUP, the number four, not spell it out, but TANK4SUP. So go check out our friends at the Tank Brewing. They've been great to us. So take it away, Jordan.
All right. Also, we want you guys to check out our guy, Stickers by AB. That's at STICKERZ by AB. You know, I've been ordering a bunch of stuff from him. You know, we have a collaboration sticker that has our logo on it. So make sure you're checking him out. Give him a follow on Twitter. He's just a good dude, and he's helping us design our merch. So yeah, man, it's make sure you're supporting the good people that help us out here on Fours Up.
You're listening to the Fours Up podcast with your host Marsh.
What up, what up, what up, Canes fans? It is the Fours Up podcast. It's Thursday, December 10th. It's UNC week. It's another freaking week here on the Canes season and the best Canes podcast. One of the best. There's a lot of good ones. joined by my boy and producer, co-host, Jordan Nelson. Jordan, how are we feeling?
Tired, headache, mild flu symptoms, but happy.
Dying.
Yeah, almost dead. No, I'm just kidding. No, yeah. I'm good.
Yeah, so we'll I know you're a little under the weather, so.
Yeah, we'll see if I have the Rona. I'm expecting the call here in the next hour or so.
Okay. Well, I guess we talked pre-show about how your week's going. You've just been chilling. Very jealous.
Yeah, it's been fun, man. I mean, It's a double-edged sword. You know, I got married 3 weeks ago or something, and my wife and I are both sick, and we've been stuck in the house together since Sunday, so 4 straight days. Yeah. Lots of highs, lots of lows.
That's hilarious. You've been watching a lot of movies?
Yeah. You know, here and there. We've been watching a lot of Chuck. We watched, you know, I got her to watch The Night Before with me. Or I think we talked about that last pod, actually. I don't know if that was – yeah, that wasn't this week. But, you know, we've been watching some stuff, so it's been good.
Okay. Kate, I don't know if we've talked – I think we've talked about this, but you're a fan of Just Friends.
Yes, I love that film.
Such an underrated movie.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Ryan Reynolds kills it. That might be my favorite Ryan Reynolds movie.
Yeah. Oh, he has so many good ones, though. Like, I feel like he's not appropriately appreciated.
He's very underrated.
Yeah, like, people, like, love him, but I think they, like, they don't love his movies. They love the idea of him, right?
Yes.
But, I mean, I just watched Waiting for the first time a few months ago, and that one was incredible, where they're all, like, waiters at an Applebee's type place.
Haven't seen that.
Oh, dude, it's incredible. Highly recommended. And then Van Wilder... I always forget how funny Van Wilder is, but it's one of the funniest movies you'll ever see.
Haven't seen that either.
Oh my goodness. Marshall.
I know Deadpool. I love Deadpool.
Yeah. Yeah. But, and then, Just Friends is just incredible.
Like when he's fat. Oh yeah. My gosh.
Yeah. You know what my favorite scene is, and like very quotable between me and my brothers, is when Anna Faris is bugging him at the bar. He turns around and yells, "I'm busy!" And she's like, "I'm busy, too, you stupid dick!" Yeah. Yeah, dude. My brothers and I always yell that at each other. "I'm busy, too, you stupid dick."
Oh, that's good. Jamie Palomino, very underrated, hottie.
Amy Smart, dude. Yeah, she's She's on my list.
She's on your list. Okay, so since we last talked, Canes with a 48-0 beatdown on Duke. Did you see that coming?
I didn't. And here's what I'm so pumped about. My biggest takeaway from that game is like, I've been pretty good this year at you know, calling what the games will look like, at least, you know. I feel like we both, but you know, we've had a pretty good feel for, you know, how the Canes will perform. Like the Virginia Tech game.
Yeah, you know, I predicted a loss, but whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, we both had the same idea, right? And we were spot on. You know, like, not to pat myself on the back, but, you know, I said,
I think people are starting to catch on how realistic we are and how accurate we are.
Yeah, but I said, I was like, this is going to be a game where we are pissed off at the end because we will look horrible, but we will pull it out just barely at the end, which is exactly what happened. So this Duke game was the first time that I've been dead wrong. And that's great because I had a pessimistic prediction. You know, I thought this would be another game where we walk away wringing our hands and like, what's going on with Blake Baker? You know, why can we not stop a 2-win Duke team? You know, like why can't our offense move the ball on them? And dude, we owned them.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, and not to pat myself on the back, but I wanted a blowout. I predicted a blowout and they showed up. I mean, De'Ara King was freaking firing. Cam Harris looked like the Cam Harris of old. Jalen Phillips. Holy hell.
He's a grown man.
He only finished the game with one sack. I felt like he had seven.
Like he's so I'm 27 and he's way more manly than I'll ever be.
He looks at least 30.
I know.
It's actually pretty amazing, and Quincy Roche is the same way, and he had a hell of a game as well. I mean, he was ACC Defensive Lineman of the week. We weren't missing tackles, and Lou Headley, I don't think he had to punt. I think he had to punt, but still, that was the best I have seen us look. And obviously, yeah, Duke is not very good. But still, I mean, the offensive line, Navon Donaldson looked good.
Oh, yeah.
All around.
Navon was incredible, man. Like, the way that he played, like, if he can do that for us for the rest of the year, for this UNC game and then for, you know, the bowl game, like, that could be the type of impact that changes the fortune of our season.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we just have a ton of confidence going into a huge game on Saturday. It's a huge game in terms of how do I put this? It's a huge game in terms of a revenge game because it won't have any effect on the ACC standings, like ACC conference championship game, anything like that.
Here's what it will have an effect on. Sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No. And I was saying it'll have an effect on it could have an effect on what bowl game we go to. But just as how far this program has gone and just where this program is at, this game is huge.
It is. And, you know, I still believe that we should cancel this game. I know, like, that's fine. I know people don't like that I say that, and that's fine, right? Because I respect the opinion to lace it up and play anyone, anytime, anywhere, right? However, this game is the difference between an ACC or, like, the New Year's Six Bowl. So whether we get the Orange Bowl or an at-large to, like, the Fiesta Bowl, or if we lose, we are in the Cheez-It Bowl. We're in the friggin' Cheez-It Bowl, dude. And we're going to play, like, Texas or someone, some four-loss team from the Big 12.
So right now, I was looking at it today, we are projected to go either play the Gators in the Orange Bowl, yikes, or play Texas A&M in, I think, the Cotton Bowl.
Okay.
So compared to the Independence Bowl last year and the Pinstripe Bowl the year before,
yeah.
You know what?
I
am very happy right now as a Canes fan.
I am too. I'm an eternal pessimist, and I'm just going to be really pissed off because this game is totally meaningless if we win. And it can, I mean, there's no way that we make a New Year's Six Bowl if we lose. I just don't see it. I mean, we're not even getting the respect to move up in the rankings. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. we're already getting jumped by teams with more losses than us, so we're not getting a lot of respect. If we get that second loss, we're going to move down closer to 20. And there's no way that we get a New Year's
Six. You think we would drop down to 20?
I think closer to 20.
Wow.
You know, I think we'll be in the bottom half of the 10. So probably 16 to 20 in that range if we lose.
Okay. I think it depends on how we lose.
I mean,
the committee, the playoff committee doesn't really give a crap about how we win or how we lose. Obviously, we didn't change at all in the playoff rankings. I know that in a regular year, we're probably around the 10 to 15 range ranking wise, and you know how we've played wise, but you can't. I'm sorry, if we lined it up against Iowa State, I don't see us losing to the Cyclones. Other teams, I don't think we would beat Georgia, and a lot of Canes fans are going to get mad at me for that. I don't think we would beat Georgia. I think we would beat Cincinnati and their running backs coach, who shall not be named. But I just don't see us. I don't see how a two loss Iowa State team who lost to Louisiana Lafayette or whatever at home could be ranked ahead of us.
I agree with you, but I think that just shows that we're not getting respect, right? Is that people? I mean, they're kind of giving Miami the Cincinnati or BYU treatment. Like, it's like, yeah, you're there because you have the record, but you're just there. Like, we don't actually believe in you at all. And that's why we're getting jumped, right? So if we lose, I think we're going to have the bottom fall out in terms of our ranking. And, you know, we'll be in the middle of three lost teams, really.
Yeah. I think that's a fair assessment. So, yeah. Go ahead.
Just let it be known is I know that this is irrational, but if we lose this game to North Carolina, I'm going to blow up everywhere. I'm going to have a meltdown and I'm going to blame everyone that said that we should lace it up. I'm going to blame you guys that our season is got derailed. As little as that makes sense, it's your guys' fault.
But there's a lot going on. Okay, so we're 6 days away from the start of early signing day, which will commence for 3 days, Wednesday to Friday. Mm-hmm. Still waiting to hear on Jake Garcia. From what I've heard, you know, things are looking good, but you really never know with recruiting. I'm honest, and I'm terrified of one of our big name recruits like flipping at the last second. But then it kind of just depends on what we do with the other spots. I think we could realistically, I think we end up with a player maybe like Austin Barber, the offensive lineman we just offered. He was a former Minnesota commit. People are talking about Jaden McBurrows. He's a cornerback from St. Thomas Aquinas. But he hasn't decommitted from Michigan. I don't want to just take another cornerback just to take one, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I get you. I get you. Why take a cornerback that you're not in love with when, you could use that for a transfer spot?
Exactly. Right? That is exactly my point. Why use it on – if it comes down to McBurrows or a high-profile transfer player who could come in and, you know, if it's like a defensive end who could replace Quincy Rocher, Jalen Phillips, or, this USC linebacker – that entered the transfer portal. I'm not even going to try and pronounce his name. he's Pale Gut. I don't know, but
that guy, USC guy,
Bishop Gorman, teammates with Bubba Bolden, Brevin Jordan, and our boy Tate, went to USC. He's a beast.
Yeah.
He's an absolute beast. And I think he's Polynesian as well.
Yeah.
Which you and I are very big on bringing to Miami.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think we're, we're going to be one of the last teams. Well, I guess on the East Coast, it's not as big of a deal. But out West, everyone knows, like, that's kind of the way that people are going, right? It's like they're looking for kids in Polynesian communities, because, I mean, some of those kids are so freaking good, you know? Yeah. And well, like, Alabama's starting to do it, too.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
and Clemson, I mean, Clemson's QB, you know?
He's Hawaiian, isn't he?
He's definitely Polynesian. I don't know if he's Hawaiian or a different, you know, Pacific Islander group, but.
Yeah, I'm all for it. I wrote a piece on him, the USC linebacker, today on State of the U. I think we should go after him. He's a thumper. The dude is an absolute beast. He's a junior, but because this year doesn't count towards your eligibility, you know, he could have 1 to 2 years left in college. So we'll see. And then obviously we'll see after the football season ends. That's when the portal kids really get going and start entering the portal. So we'll see. We'll see. Another thing, is our guest ready, first of all?
So he's not ready yet. But what I wanted to talk about, since we're on the topic, is Bubba Bolden's Instagram Live.
I was just about to bring that up.
Yeah, and so, you know, just disclaimer, right? Like it's from his Instagram Live, you know. So take everything that we talk about with a grain of salt, because these kids can change their minds, right? You know, it's probably a lot of it will depend on the draft grades they get. But on Bubba's Instagram Live, he said, "We're coming back." And he did say that the USC linebacker, whose name we can't pronounce, is coming, right? So who does he mean by "we're coming back"? You know, you would assume it means Bubba and Brevin, at least.
And D'Eriq.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd bet my savings account on D'Eriq King coming back, honestly. So I'm not worried about that.
Yeah, I saw that yesterday, and I was out to lunch, and all of a sudden my phone is blowing up.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, oh my God, like, what happened? Did someone decommit? And first of all, how is it that so many Canes fans are on Bubba's Instagram at the same time?
I have no idea.
In the middle of the day.
I don't know.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'm weird, but I actually generally don't even follow players.
I follow players, but never have I once, you know, gone on a player's live video.
Yeah.
Like, because they're just like looking at the camera and kind of just like talking.
Just vibing.
Just vibing. So, I mean, if that's your thing to watch player Instagram lives, go ahead. But first of all, he says we're all coming back to win a natty. I don't think Jalen Phillips is coming back. In the mock draft, I don't know if you saw yesterday, one mock draft has him going number 5 overall to my Cowboys.
Yeah.
I know he's good, but number 5?
Yeah. I mean,
that's above him, so.
I know. I get what you're saying. I don't know if he'll be number 5. I do think he'll be a first round pick. And here's the thing, like, if Bubba, you know, saying we're back, I think that could mean everyone but Jalen.
Yeah.
And the reason why, like, is Jalen's got to – I mean, you got to remember, like, his health history, right? The concussions, his broken wrist, just, like, his journey to get where he is right now is kind of an incredible one. And I don't know. Like, if I was in Jalen's corner, I'd be pushing him to go to the league.
Yeah. I mean, because it's different – because we've had so many problems with players leaving early. But the problem is that those guys are leaving early to go to the 6th round, 7th round, undrafted.
For sure.
They're not even on practice squads. If you are a projected first-round pick, and Jalen Phillips is the kind of player that will kill it at the NFL Combine because he's just a freak. If you have that opportunity, go get yours.
Yeah. Like, give me 1 second. I'm just messaging our guests.
You're good. But I do think, and D'Eriq King was talking yesterday to the media that, he said something along the lines, I wouldn't mind coming back next year.
Yeah.
So I think that he will come back.
Yeah.
And I think Bubba will come back. I still don't see Brevin coming back, even though we would all love him to come back. But D'Eriq coming back is the biggest thing.
Agreed. And to touch back on Jalen, because I had something I wanted to say in that, you know, like, I don't, you know, people can say like, yeah, Ed Reed came back, you know, he was going to be a first round pick. He came back to win and stuff like that. And honestly, if Jalen comes back, you have to think that we are right there with Clemson in the conversation for a playoff spot coming out of the ACC next year. If we return all of our dudes, my thing though is like, you know, I have a, Jalen's one of my guys. He's probably my favorite player on the team. He has been since he came in and was, you know, in the weight room. Like, he wasn't even playing last year, but he was killing it in the weight room. He was doing stuff in the community, which I had a lot of respect for. And so, like, he's one of these dudes that I will always cheer for as hard as I can, no matter what he does, where he goes. You know what I mean? Like he's a dude that I'm going to be following forever.
Absolutely.
And that being said, like, I, for him, I don't want him to come back. Because
I see where you're coming from.
Yeah, like, just, you know, yeah, you could win a title and that would be cool and stuff. But dude, there is tens of millions of dollars waiting for him at the next level. And with his injury history, like, I don't know. If I were him, I wouldn't take any of that for granted. Just knowing what the other side is like, right? Because he was like, dude, he flamed out already, you know? He was a flame out. And then he, like, he resurrected his career, and now he's going to be a first-round pick. And so if I'm in Jalen's corner, I'm like, dude, you just got to go. Like, don't worry about college. You know what I mean? Go win a Super Bowl. Don't worry about a college championship. And, you know, people can hate on me for that, but, like, I genuinely think see, a lot of these kids, I won't mess around when I think it's best for them to come back to college. But Jalen is a guy that it just makes no sense for.
Yeah. Well, and for fans that would get mad at him for leaving.
Yeah.
Really? Like,
they can take it up with me, man. I'm not going to put up with that.
Like,
you're going to have that on my timeline.
That has fought through injuries and everything and has done so much for this program, you know, just in this year alone. And he's one of the leaders on this team, and he's a great guy. Like, how could you be mad at him for leaving early if he is, like, on the trajectory that he's on and what he could go do if in the NFL if he left early? Like, how could you be mad at that?
Yeah.
Like, that, in my opinion, that's selfish.
Yep. Oh, agreed. Like, that's not going to fly on my timeline. If I see that, you're getting muted, at least, if not blocked.
Yeah. And so if he does leave early, which I think he will, I wish him nothing but the absolute best. And you know what? You know what I respected is that he plans on playing the entire season plus the bowl game. And that's not something you see, you know, very too often if your team's not in the college football playoff and if you're, you know, projected to be a high draft pick. So that just speaks to his character. But on another note, Bubba's saying Bama ain't ready for us. Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. The one thing you never ever, first of all, I don't want to hear the word Bama come out of our mouths until after this season.
Yeah.
I don't care about that game right now. How could you care about that game when we have the number 17 team coming into Hard Rock Stadium on Saturday? I don't get it.
It's like, frustrating to me.
It's so frustrating.
Yeah,
Just let the season play out. And I'm not speaking towards Bubba. I'm speaking towards the fans, really. Because I get so many questions about the Bama game. And I'm like, I don't give a damn.
Yeah. And, well, our guest is ready for us, so let's call him in just a sec. But, you know, yeah, no, I'm not disrespecting Bubba or talking, you know, about what he's saying. But, dude, like, how about we focus on beating backup quarterbacks on run-of-the-mill ACC teams first? You know, like, what do you mean Bama isn't ready for us, dude? Like, you know what I mean? We're letting the backup QBs at Pitt, Virginia, and NC State just, like, go crazy on us.
You think Nick Saban and his players are talking about Miami?
No, they don't care. They're going to take care of business and probably win another championship this year.
Yeah. Well, let's get on a guy that will most likely wholeheartedly agree with what we're saying.
Yeah.
Let's get him on.
That's why I like Holcomb is because I feel like he's right in line with our philosophy on the Canes.
Absolutely.
Holcomb, what's up, bro?
What's up? How you guys doing today?
Not too bad. Good.
And hey, we loved you so much last week. Just figured why not bring you on again this week? How you doing, my man?
Hey, man, it's always a blessing to wake up, man. That's my biggest thing. We got to attack every 24 hours with happiness.
Well, you're so positive. You're the bright spot in all Canes fans. First of all, loved your film breakdown on the Duke game. Wanted to go over that real quickly. You know, we all know – first of all, did you see that kind of performance coming?
No. No, I did not. I felt as though the Miami Hurricanes and had a chance. Of course, it's Duke. I mean, in the back of your mind, you always keep saying that. But we had not proven that all year that we would take advantage and truly handle business against lower-level comp since Tallahassee. It just speaks about how the ACC has gotten better, honestly, across the board. And we had embarrassed the two bad teams on our schedule, which was Duke and Tallahassee. we embarrassed them. So that was a good part about it. And it wasn't even about the score. I mean, what a blessing to score that many points and have every single player who traveled with you play. Like that's a dream of a staff to be able to do that for the young men who have entrusted their future to you. But it's the execution level. It was how we did what we did. And they executed at such a high percentile offensively and defensively. I mean, it's just no way that these coaches, when they sat down and did that film, that they didn't get a grin, you know, to think that maybe we finally have pushed past that level. And now we have the good communication in the secondary. The defensive line showed up. The wide receivers were catching the ball for the most part. De'Aaron King has been ultra careful with the football the whole year and really put the ball in open place. And you bring back Devin. Brevin. Comes back in and he makes two catches that were both impactful. You know, so things really came together. And it was really happy to see the genuine positive energy oozing out of our players. But it wasn't cockiness. It was just them being super happy that they executed at such a high level.
Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, it wasn't cocky. It was just the confidence that was just radiating off them, honestly, that there's a huge difference between cockiness and just pure confidence. We all know that De'Aaron King played very well. Jalen Phillips and Quincy Roche looked like a machine. I wanted to know what other players stuck out to you. Because for me, I was very impressed with Corey Flagg and Wayman Steed at linebacker. I think they played very well. Jafari Harvey, flashed a lot at defensive end. And also Navon Donaldson. I thought, you know, seeing him back and in the run blocking game, I thought he did really well, as well. So are there any other players that really stuck out to you that you were impressed with?
Absolutely. Keontre Smith and Gilbert Frierson. I mean, the striker position, man, they played. It was to the point like once Gilbert got out of the game, the second half, it seemed like four was in on every play. Every time you kept like, wow. Yeah. Wow. I mean, the team speed was on a different level. And another thing, Marsh, about what happens in this game is when you know that your responsibility, you play even faster. That's why coaches love the term snap count. When players come back with a high snap count, not an experienced team because just – you would think B.J. Jennings is experienced because he's a redshirt junior. That is that he has a very low snap count on the team. So in actuality, as a Miami Hurricane, he's at the beginning of the year, was a very young player. I think he had less than 60 total snaps in over 3 years. So it was going to take him some time to get up there. And if his snap counts were even at the championship level, mediocre level, subpar level, all those type of things are important when you're evaluating preseason. But we're to the point now where you basically kind of count to the next year. Your freshmen aren't freshmen anymore. Yep. Your seniors have really solidified things and getting ready for graduation and stuff like that. So you really saw Keontre Smith and Gilbert Fryer should do some things on a consistent basis. Another huge thing, Bubba Bolden's open field tackling had been a problem for like 3 weeks. Fixed his angles, fixed his pursuit of the ball. Really, the way that he wraps up, instead of doing that stupid gator roll crap, they were grabbing him by the knees and drive, drive, drive. Him and Gervin Hall and Amari, I mean, everybody just tackled at such a high level. Now, does that have something to do with the quality of player you're going up against? Absolutely. But if you do things right every time, it doesn't matter who the opponent is. And they played very, very well.
Cool. Well, I'm excited to ask you this next question, Holsom. You know, I love that you approach things from, you know, kind of a coaching philosophy almost. And then also you keep it real, which I love because, you know, Marsh and I keep it real. We're very realistic fans, I like to think, and we often take flack from it. But I wanted to ask you about Bubba Bolden's comments on IG Live, you know, where he said, you know, we're all coming back, and he said, Bama ain't ready for us.
Well, technically, if we take what he really said was, we are not ready for who all comes back when they announce, you know, at the end of the season after the bowl game is really what he said.
Okay.
We've all inferred that he means that they're all coming back.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and we talked about it a little bit. Oh, you're fine. No worries. So we talked about it a little bit before we brought you in. You know, we both agreed that Jalen Phillips, very small chance he comes back. You know, we're talking, you know, interesting on Brevin. You know, I don't think either of us actually think he's coming back, but you know, we could see De'Arik King and Bubba Bolden coming back. But it was mostly the like Bama ain't ready for us type of thing. And that just, I mean, I wanted to hear your take on that. We were both kind of like, I don't know.
Man, I tell you what, it made me smile. Because I know that it's just their confidence right now.
Yeah.
And of course, next year's next year. Has nothing to do with what we do this year, has nothing to do with, you know, even what we did against Duke has nothing to do with the outcome of the UNC game on Saturday. It's just, it doesn't work like that. As much as people think that it does, it truly doesn't. At the highest level, man, it's so many different intricacies that happen in 60 minutes that really have an outcome of the game that has nothing to do with what you did a week before. So I think they're just so confident in the way that they're playing right now. And I hope that in his comments, it wasn't, because people can dissect comments a lot. You know, not saying you all are, but our fan base has a way of just taking something this small and making it the size of the state of Florida. It's just how they do things. But I think he's just super confident at the level that they're executing. His excitement for him making his, because in my unhumble opinion, I think he has made the decision that he's going to come back. And he's going to do all that he can to influence the West Coast Canes to want to come back and play with him and finish it out the right way. I think he's just super happy about that. So he was just projecting that, you know, on an Instagram live, but
yeah, I could see that, you know, like maybe he made that decision to himself and then was pretty hyped and hop on Instagram live. And then, you know, was talking just cause he had committed to himself to come back. So I can see where you're coming from with that.
Now, if we go down a line of players, what I try to do on my channel is not talk about NFL time until it's NFL time, because I think that's been a huge problem in the fan base, too, is that energy. Funny. Everybody talks about how Jalen was doing so good, Jalen Phillips making all these plays, and magically, the same week everybody's hyping him up, he goes fourth overall in this mock draft, and it becomes like front page Miami Hurricanes news to talk about Jalen Phillips and his production. Instead of us understanding, you know, if he played for any of the big time schools in the top four, top five, they wouldn't be discussing that. Why? Because the season isn't over.
Yeah.
You know, we play a role in this when we put energy into certain things. And I mean, of course, not just saying this is just conversation on a podcast, you know, just
for sure.
Discussing. But I'm speaking through this podcast to our fan base. We got to be a lot more educated with the energy we put towards things. Okay. Yes, he's played really well. A very good Virginia Tech game, a dominating Duke game. That young man has to, in my opinion, has to be a Miami Hurricane next year. Not because I know that he would dominate, not because I know that he would do well. But I mean, he has less than 100 collegiate snaps. I think I want to say maybe it's like 110, 112. Yeah. Including his time at UCLA and at Miami. And now we want to take that step up to the National Football League level. I don't know if it will be the best decision.
I see where you're coming from with that. And I think a lot of Canes fans put way too much emphasis, starting way too early in the season, on players, you know, potentially leaving early, where they're, you know, projected to go in these NFL drafts. And no, you're completely right. When that mock draft came out yesterday that had him going 4 or 5, whatever, I mean, as Canes fans do, it blew up. But I think, and another thing, and I know you explained the Bubba thing very well about the Alabama game and everything like that. What bothers me most, not about Bubba, but about, you know, fans, is that we've seemed to forgot that we have the number 17 team, UNC, coming into Hard Rock on Saturday.
Not only do we have that, we got Georgia Tech the week after.
Yeah.
And we have a bowl game 2 to 3 weeks from then, and all likelihood will be the Orange Bowl against a quality Texas A&M or Florida team. Yeah. They both could very well blow us out. You know, like, it's a lot that we got to focus on before we even get to NFL draft talk, before we even get to Alabama. And, you know, these young men still are living, you know, the college life. They're living the undergrad life. They're enjoying. None of them have experienced on this roster, because who is left from that 2017 team?
There's not many. There's not many left.
And I don't think if McLeod and who else is there?
That's what I'm thinking. Maybe B.J. Jennings? Or was he class of 2018?
Mike Harley was on that team.
Mike Harley, Corey Gaynor, Navon Donaldson.
Yeah.
I mean, but not too many of them have experienced this level of play.
Yeah.
Not too many of them have experienced going how many games undefeated before Clemson, and now just as many games after Clemson undefeated. You know, they never felt that before. Yeah. So now they know what it feels like to put in all that work, and it comes out on the other end with victories, especially because last year they put in work, probably not the same level of work, probably not the same level of effort or attention to detail, but they did put in work last year, and it equated to nothing but catastrophic disaster, unless you're talking about the Tallahassee game, which we all love.
My favorite thing is that you never refer to FSU as FSU. It's always Tallahassee. I think that's awesome.
I might have to borrow that from you. Would you be offended if I borrowed that from you?
No, man. No. You don't even have to tell them that I started it. It's just something I do. It started out because I have family that went to FAMU. And Marsh went there for like a semester, if you ask him.
I was a missionary there, so I didn't go there, but I got FAMU somewhat in my blood.
Right. We'll go with that one. And it's in the same city, if you all don't realize. For some people that don't know where FAMU is. If you listen to this podcast and you're a Floridian or Miamian and you don't know what FAMU is, you got problems. But either way, it's a HBCU up there. And I have family that went there, graduated from there, you know, played in the band, played ball there, whatever. And I would always refer to Tallahassee as that other school in Tallahassee, not FAM. But that's a lot to say over and over and over. And I would always say that FAM's the only school up there recognizable, yada, yada, yada. Yeah. So then I just slimmed it down. So whenever I refer to that school, instead of stealing what Ohio State says with the team up north, I just say Tallahassee. Yeah. I used to say Trailerhassee, but that's a little kiddie. So I just stuck to Tallahassee.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay, so Saturday, it's a huge game. It's another revenge game. Obviously, we dropped the game against the Tar Heels last year and a heartbreaker. They're coming in with an explosive offense. Sam Howell, I have been very high on since he, you know, was a true freshman. They have, you know, they have an explosive running attack. They have good receivers. How are you feeling defensively about this game, and do you think that we need to put – someone asked me this today, and I didn't really have an answer for them. Shutting down the Tar Heels offense, do you, you know, prioritize shutting down the passing attack or the ground game?
Well, they pass to set up the run. And some teams – it's a very different approach, because most people think, oh, no, you run, then play action off of that. They have an inverse. because, and that's why their backs are so good, because you have to play them 53 and a third. You got to play the whole field because they have a very high option offense, like across the board. In the same play, you will see, and I'll break it down on my film session, releases tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Friday night, where you will literally see an RPO, but it's four plays all in one. They have the motion, they go split back. They'll motion one back on a swing to take out your backside play. Then there's a read option between the QB and the play side running back. Then you also have the now route in the slot and a go route from the X, all in the same play. That's really hard to explain to college young men how to do that and do your job, but also chase the football at the same time. Well, coach, where's the football? I don't know. It's so many. So it's really a do your job. At a, you got to be able to be assignment sound playing a team like UNC, because there's so much going on all at one time to where if you are not keen onto what your job is, and you got to make the play when it comes to you, because you may not have as much pursuit because there's so many other things going on to pull our defensive players different sides. It's a very complex offense to run, but they've been in this system for years. I mean, even if you think about it, Coach Lungo, who's the offensive coordinator now, kind of switched his offense to fit what Coach Larry Fedora had been doing for years before him, so that these recruits felt a little bit more normal in this system. So in actuality, it isn't the second year of their offense. It's really like year six, year seven, because they've been recruited and coached and developed in this system for a while. So it'll be a tough one. It'll be a tough go for us. But to answer the first part of your question, how would we shut it down, or things that to look forward to for us to be able to slow them down or stop them, is going to have to be defensive line play affecting the pass. What I mean by that is when we get there, we got to get him down to the ground, because Sam Howell is not an easy QB to bring down because he's elusive and mobile in the pocket. Not because he's Big Ben and he's 6'6". He's more like 6'1 and a half. 215, but he's very nimble and elusive, so he can shake you and be evasive in the backfield. You gotta bring him down, and if you can steal a couple drives from them, strip sack them. When you get there, go from a good play to an elite play by getting the ball out. Because if we can do that with our front four and not have to blitz, that means we can play sound defense behind them. But also, if we're affecting and rushing him, that means he may make some inaccurate throws and have to throw the ball a little sooner than he wants to. And if that can turn into a couple of tip balls, interceptions for us, it can really flip the play in favor of the Canes.
Yeah, so, I mean, along with that, I was thinking about how much pressure there's going to be on Quincy Roche and Jalen Phillips to perform at a high level this week, considering our situation in the defensive backfield. You know, obviously, like our thoughts are with Al Blades. You know, he's going through some health issues. He's not going to play for the rest of the year. That leaves us fairly thin and inexperienced at corner, right? It's a lot better having three guys that you can rely on to some extent versus two guys that you can rely on to some extent. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's not disrespect to, you know, Clark and Dunson looked fine against Duke. But, you know, you were talking about snap count and stuff. And also, along with that, Bubba Bolden has really been exposed on occasion when he's had to match up one-on-one with receivers, which UNC has plenty. You know, if you remember the Louisville game, he was getting torched by Tutu Atwell multiple times, you know? I mean, I saw a stat sheet. I wish I had it in front of me. But it showed like the individual defensive backs matched up against receivers and what the attempts, completions, yards, stuff like that. Bubba was one of the worst defenders on the list in that scenario. Now, granted, I think Bubba's a great player, right? But that's kind of one of his bigger weaknesses is in one-on-one trying to defend wide receivers. And that puts so much pressure on Phillips and Roche to make that clock
in Sam Howell's head be ticking very fast, right? He has to get the ball out. Can't sit around and wait. And, you know, we can't even really afford to sit back in zone against the QB like that because he'll pick us apart.
That's kind of funny you talk about Bubba. Here's my thing. So you said that you looked at a stat sheet, right?
Yeah.
When was the last time you looked at the film of that game?
It's
been a while,
right? Oh, yeah. It's been a while.
Well, a lot of those completions were, like, within 5 yards, and Bubba was, like, able to make the tackle. Now, I don't want you to come off as if I'm attacking you. I'm just saying, like, people can make numbers say whatever they want them to say.
Yeah.
And when it comes to us in coverage, sometimes it has been iffy. I mean, the strong safety position has been horrible. I mean, Gervin Hall and Amari Carter, if you're going off of stats and Pro Football Focus percentages, then they've been very bad in coverage. But I think this upcoming Saturday is going to be more about, and it's really cliche to say out loud, but who wants it more? Because you're going to give up yards. You're going to give up points. You're going to give up sacks. You're going to drop some passes. You're going to drop maybe an interception. How do you respond to the energy of this game? Do you look at it as revenge, or do we look at it like I have to execute my – I have to execute what I'm supposed to do, irregardless of who my opponent is? Once you get to that point in the art of war known as football, it doesn't matter who you're playing. Because you do your job at such a high level. Is it some emotion going to be attached to it? Yeah. We bringing out the Miami Knights, even to the much chagrin of Marsh, who hates Miami swag.
Hey, whoa, 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 whoa. I love these jerseys.
What happened?
I love these jerseys. I'm not a fan of, you know, the alternate Nikes we had, but the original blackout jerseys. And I don't like these as much as the, you know, the first ones. But I really like these. I wish that, you know, it would be played at night, so it would be Miami nights. But I like what I see what you're saying.
Miami evenings work, okay? Miami afternoons. I mean, it gets dark at 5 anyway, so it'll, by like mid-second quarter halftime, it'll be pitch black out there. So it'll look all right. It's kind of similar to Virginia back in 2015 when we wore those surprising black uniforms with the camo socks and cleats. At a 3:30 kickoff. I don't know if you guys remember that off the top of your head.
I do remember that.
So like fourth quarter came and it was like, oh yeah, we do look pretty good in black. But I know our players were steaming during the day. Good God.
Dude, I know I'm gonna be steaming because I'm going to the game and it's been cold down here in South Florida, my man. But it's gonna be back like 80, 85. So I'm gonna be hot in the stands. I'm sure they're gonna be baking on the field.
Hey, man, I trust me. I think it adds an edge, especially, you know, I know you're a Broward, you know, guy. So no comments on that this week. But, you know, us in Dade, it was different. It was different when it was time for a blackout. You know, if you pulled out those black uniforms, it was a psychological thing that your coaches let you know this is a big game. I mean, you look at the West, they pull out their black unis. It's probably Central that week. Mm-hmm. You know, or, you know, Kara City is a black and orange, and Booker T are black and orange teams. But when they pull out all black, it's probably a big rivalry game, unless it's a classic rivalry where, you know, teams usually wear their traditionals. But I think the keys to this game, among all else, is going to be how we handle the energy of this game. Do we get too emotional? Are we not focused enough? Do we have a little attention to detail? Or do we allow our energy and the revenge to be our focus? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, do you thrive in the fact that you want to beat this team down so bad that I'm going to do my job at a high level because I want to beat you? You know, or are you focused on, you know, because I don't even think this is a part of our program anymore. Are you just focused on beating this dude because you want to fight him because you hate him, absolutely, you know?
Well, and I think a perfect example of what you just said and playing to the energy is the Notre Dame game a few years ago. I mean, it was Saturday night, an undefeated Notre Dame team, College Game Day, but they played perfectly into that energy and allowed them to, you know, focus harder and do their job to a more to a higher extent. So yeah, I 100% agree with what you just said.
It's a tough thing to do with a team as like scattered in age that this Miami Hurricanes team is. But once it gets rolling, it's a pretty tough thing to stop as the opposing staff, because you turn on that film and the horror of the Miami Hurricanes gelling and playing at a high level on all three facets of the game is not something that college football wants to see.
No, no. And it's something that makes college football better, in my opinion. College football is better when Miami is good. And, you know, the national media will tell you that as well. I wanted to get your quick thoughts on the Canes offense going into Saturday. Obviously, we were able to, you know, get the ground game going back against Duke. Cam Harris looked like the Cam Harris of old. Don Chaney was looking good. And, you know, Jalen Nyan, I think he has some concussion problems, but I feel very comfortable with Cam Harris and Don Chaney on Saturday. Do you think that we are going to see a heavy ground game like we did, you know, against UAB and those kind of teams? Or do you think that we are going to, you know, let King air it out in a more game like NC State?
Man, I tell you what I honestly hope happens, Marsh, is that we're able to get in the game. And of course, you come in with a game plan, but adjust your game plan to what's happening. What I really don't like watching with this offense from time to time is that Coach Rhett Lashley gets stuck in his balanced ways, and the passing game is working, and he just goes to the run just because he wants to get his run count up. Instead of understanding, hey, Derek and these wide receivers are humming. I'm going to let it just roll until they make adjustments. Let it roll. You know, so what I'm hoping is we catch a feel. But if you were to say, Holson, what's something off the jump, I think we're going to come out, open up the box, and run on them and see how they adjust to that. Reason being is a lot of teams have, since NC State, they basically have said, okay, you made some plays in the passing game. We're going to still load the box because run is your first go-to. Run is option A, and run is also option 1A, okay? A 1B. They want to run the ball, whether it's QB run or running backs getting the ball, carrying the ball. We want to run the football. The passing game is off of that. So if you take away the run and I force you to pass, that's the only thing you have to do. Now I can sit back in zone coverage and hopefully our pass rush gets to you. You know, it's how I would scout against Miami if I were thinking about it. So I think we're going to see a heavy dose of blitzing. I think we're going to see a 50 front look, a linebacker creeping up, whether it's up the A gap or off the edge, where the RPO is going to be. And we are going to have to connect, not only on deep balls, but we got to build the chemistry in the passing game early on in this game, because they're going to take away the run based on numbers. Now, if we could still run up against their box like we did against Duke, Duke tried to load the box, we were still able to run the ball because we were just a better team. So we're going to see. We're going to see what happens with that. But I think what they're going to do is try to take away our run game, force us to pass. Because anytime you do that, then De'Aaron King is forced to show up and make the plays in a passing game. Our wide receivers are forced to get open and catch the football and do something with it. So I think that's what we're going to have to deal with come Saturday.
Okay, okay. If there's one, besides De'Aaron King, if there's one or two offensive players that you think need to show up big on Saturday, who would you say?
Man. Personal or professional answer? I always ask you that. Which
one? Both. Give us both.
Okay. My personal, man, I want this for this player so bad. I would love if Mark Pope just had like a crazy day. If he had like 6 for 120 and 2 touchdowns, like, I would love if he had what Mike Harley has been doing. I would hope that Mark Pope would have something like that. The two players that in my heart I would really love to see have big games offensively would be Brevin Jordan and Mark Pope. Brevin, because of his injury history, and he's just been trying to get over that type of stuff. And I want him to have a marquee go-to game. You know, he has the marquee go-to play, the 2018 game-winning touchdown versus Tallahassee. I will always say, if you want me to explain to you who Brevin Jordan is, go watch that play. I want him to have a film, a game, where he just goes crazy. And, you know, Mark Pope is hometown player, South Florida dude. Not only a South Florida, he's a Miami dude. Rivals called him a five-star. No one else did. So that's always been a misconstruction. I hate when people bring that up. But I'm hoping that if those two players could be breakout, I would love if it was Pope and Bremer.
Okay. Okay, so last question I got for you, man. Let's hear a score prediction for Saturday.
Sure. 35, Miami. 27, UNC.
Okay.
Easy enough, man. Easy enough. Okay, brother. Thank you so much for coming on. I know it was short notice. I think you've turned into our favorite recurring guest. We still need to talk some recruiting with you. Signing day is 6 days away, so we will hopefully get you back on the show very soon. Before you go, let the people know one more time where they can find your work.
Yeah, so I am the Holsum, HOLSUM, and the number one. I'm a YouTuber. I'm also on Twitter. You type in Holsum1 Holloway on YouTube, on Twitter, you'll get it there too. I'm a down-to-earth guy, but I'm also very, very, very focused on the Miami Hurricanes football program and what we can do better. I like to give credit when credit is due, but I'm also critical because I understand the importance of these coaches and what they can do for these young men and really helping them become not only better football players, but better people. And I'm hoping that we can do that for them. The most fun you'll ever find me is Monday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on my live. I have a call-in portion of the channel that goes all type of ways, recruiting, rumors, what happened this past game. It gets really fun, man. But it's been a great experience to be on here with you all and talk. You know, people come on it and on YouTube and let me know how well of a job I did last week. And I always let them know, thank you all for allowing me to even be here. You know, just try to be a good person and good things come to you. So as always, the only way to close out for me is it's all about that you.
Absolutely, okay. Brother. Absolutely. Okay. Well, we will be in touch, man. Hope everything's going well for you out there. And are you coming home for the holidays?
No. God, no. I got money to be made. I got film to break down. I'll talk to them on FaceTime.
God bless. Go Canes. And we'll talk soon.
All right, family. Thank you all so much. Have a great day.
Hey,
right.
See you, man. Wonderful, man.
He's going to be a football coach, but he needs to be like a part-time pastor or something.
Agreed.
That dude's awesome.
Yeah. We'll need to talk some recruiting with him. We should try to do like a recruiting extravaganza here in 3 or 4 days, but we got to find out if we're going to be in the Cheez-It Bowl first.
Oh my gosh.
I can't get over this, Marsh. I'm stuck.
We're 8-1.
I know, but if we lose, like that's the Russell Athletic Bowl now. It's the Cheez-It Bowl, and that's where we're going if we lose this game.
We'll see.
Mark my words.
Oh, God.
If we lose this game, we're going to be playing the Cheez-It Bowl versus Kansas State or something.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Anything? Yeah, I'm very down for a recruiting extravaganza episode. Anything before we go?
No, man. Just, I guess hope all is well with you guys. And, go Canes.
Yeah, need a big win on Saturday. Look for me on ABC. I'll be there with our boy AB. So let's get a win this Saturday. I'm actually no wait. Score prediction from you.
Oh no. You go first. I need to think this over.
I said it earlier today, and I'm sticking with it. 34-20 Canes.
Really?
Or 34-21 Canes.
Okay. Jeez, man. I think it's going to be a nail biter. I think this is going to be one of those games where, like, I lose the rest of my hair. The rest of my hairs. I have so few that I feel like I need to acknowledge each of them. I'm going to go, you know, I like that 34 number. I'm going to go 34-31 Canes. However, this is a pick'em game to me.
Yeah.
I'll go 34-31, and I'm not going to pick a winner. How about that?
Sounds good, man. Sounds good.
I we all know I want the Canes to win, but you know, I just, when I watched that Notre Dame UNC game, I was already getting nervous. They look good.
They did. Okay, well, we'll hopefully be back maybe Sunday or Monday to recap this game, get into a little recruiting. But until then, let's get a win on Saturday. Let's get some revenge. And as always, go Canes.
Go Canes.
This has been the Forza Podcast.